welcome to Pixel Chicken Podcast. I'm your host this week, Philip. To my right is River. How you doing, man?
I am doing way better than you.
Well, to my left is Stryker. What's up, dude?
Ow!
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, Phil.
How's your week going, dude?
My week's going pretty good, man. My week has, I'm back from Disneyland. The happiest place on earth, they call it.
Was it? Because the last time I went to Disneyland, my hotel caught on fire.
Are you kidding?
And I witnessed a couple break up in front of the Cars-O-Rama or whatever the fuck it was.
Wow.
That's what happened last time I went to Disneyland.
Man.
Didn't get a vignette or whatever they're fucking called.
I got one and it was not nearly as good as...
What the fuck are they even?
It's a beignet is like a...
Okay, beignet.
It's just like a French type... It's like a donut, basically. And it tastes... Like a, what does it taste like? It tastes almost like an elephant ear.
Okay.
It just has powdered sugar on it. There's nothing really special about it.
What the fuck beignets?
But let me tell you what was fucking great that I had at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Phil, get ready for this.
Yeah. All
right, this is going to blow your fucking dick off. I had an ice cream sandwich.
God.
Okay?
Okay, I remember this now.
Ice cream sandwich. On either side of the ice cream, holding it together, was two coiled up churros. Smashed it.
God damn it. Phil, shut the fuck up. And just...
That is unheard of.
Phil, shut the fuck up!
Just think about that.
Just think about it for a second.
The joy of that concept.
But you're really not.
Let me tell you something, Phil. I had more cinnamon in my beard by the end of eating that than there was even initially on both churros.
Multiple. They fucked on your beard.
Somehow exponentially, yeah.
Man, you're really not. You're not, bro.
What?
It's not. Anyway, cinnamon beards.
Yeah, so I had a cinnamon beard.
What?
I don't know what just happened. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Oh, I get it. You're getting on my case about saying you're not enjoying the moment. Okay.
It's all good. But anyhow.
Good for you, Phil.
Phil, are you going to fucking host this thing or what?
Yeah. Because
you're not doing it.
Well, I thought it was... Okay. Cool. So anyway, my week was cool. Don't do that. Asshole.
What?
Just give me a fucking chance.
I'm giving you a chance, dude.
Last night, I went on... my week was good except for last night. Last night, I went on the PlayStation Network to purchase and download the expansion for The Witcher 3.
And, Heart of Stone?
Yeah. And okay. It turned out to be a nightmare because of some crap I had to do. I went on to put a new debit card onto the system. Because it's my new card, and it was telling me that none of the information was valid, which wasn't true.
Let me stop you for 1 second. I feel like second or third episode of Pixel Chicken Podcast, you told this exact same story, dude.
No, but this is different.
No, wait.
This is The Witcher 3, bro. This is the
same.
That
doesn't change a goddamn thing. It's still the PlayStation Network, and you're still having trouble entering in your own goddamn card information.
But it's to no fault of my own. It's actually coming from their end, not me or the bank. I swear to God.
I'm not convinced.
I'm fucking serious. I can't figure it out.
What is it?
Basically went and bought myself a PlayStation Plus, a PlayStation gift card. I'm going to do it that way with the money that I was originally
Philip, do you ever buy anything else online?
Once I bought, why? Once I bought
just
a book off Amazon.
Say it.
Just once?
And that worked?
Yeah, it worked.
Same card?
No, different card. This is
the
first time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I'm using this card.
Your identity stolen. That's the what's going on.
I really don't think so. Nothing.
No, it is.
There's no activity going on in my
another Phil Goldie.
Bank.
Like no, there's no act because they're not using your card. They're just living your life and fucking your girlfriend.
Oh, Jesus.
In all seriousness.
You have a girlfriend and
you're
getting fucked by another Phil.
I don't even know she exists. How the hell does that make any sense?
What?
Cool. My mind has been blanked. I don't remember.
You got MIB?
Yes, I got MIB.
Crap.
Will Smith is fucking my girlfriend.
Ooh, I'd be all right with that.
Anyhow.
Yeah, I
mean, anywho.
You can't really compete with that.
Yeah, no, you can't. He's cool.
I'd just be like, well, I tried.
Whatever. Did my best.
Moving on.
So, Star Wars Battlefront beta just came out. And
and ended promptly.
Mm-hmm. So, Stryker, how'd it go?
I don't like that you're singling me out. I feel like you're being slightly racist against Norwegian.
Yeah.
people.
Yeah. You're Norwegian? Oh, well, anyhow, River, you didn't play it. I didn't play it.
Dude, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Of course, I'm mm-hmm. a fucking Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just kidding.
Dude, you seen him, man? You ever see Techno Viking?
I have seen Techno Viking.
That was me, dude. That was
bitch.
You. That was me yeah. in sixth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade.
All right, Phil, let me hit you with some facts about Star Wars Battlefront. Mm-hmm. It was a beta. Fact number one.
Got it.
Fact number two, it uses the Star Wars IP.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's all my facts. Mm-hmm. Now for some opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I played it for... I didn't get to play it as much as I wanted, and you basically had three modes at your disposal. Mm-hmm. You had, like, a survival mode, which you could play by yourself or co-op. And that took place on Tatooine, I believe. Or maybe I'm wrong. I get the planets mixed up. I also...
Tatooine's the red one.
Okay, then, yeah, that's what it was. I also, there was two multiplayer modes, as far as I know. There was Walker Assault, which is...
I hear is wildly unbalanced yes, for the Rebels.
Yes, that's what I've heard as well, and what I kind of experienced. It's a huge, large-scale multiplayer thing with, you know, X-Wings and TIE Fighters in the sky, and then a AT-AT on the ground, and tons of people.
And this is on Hoth?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the battle that, you know, you've played a bunch of times in other games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is like their large-scale, you know, their large-scale multiplayer mode similar to a Conquest or something mm-hmm. in the Battlefield series. And then there was the more infantry-based sort of small-scale game mode. I don't remember what it was called, but it's where you fight over points, basically.
Yeah. So what I understand, like the Walker Assault, it sounded like, you know, your conquest, but it kind of had a different spin on the fact that...
yeah, I meant more in scale.
Yeah, it's in scale. Like, so, do you know the... Anyways, I'll explain it. But, so it's basically the large-scale battle. And it's obviously the Rebels versus the Imperials. The Imperials have walkers. AT-ATs trying to go mm-hmm. towards the shield generator, right? And so the walkers are pretty much invincible, right? Until... what is the criteria to get the Y-wing bomber?
To be honest, I don't even know that.
So the rebels have to do something, I guess, get enough kills or weight or something, or capture a point. You probably have to capture a point or something like that to enable a Y-wing bomber run to go through and like drop an ion bomb on the AT-ATs to drop their shields. And so at that point, that's when the AT-ATs become vulnerable. Yeah. And that's when everyone starts shooting them and everything like that. So it's kind of like a swap. It's kind of like do this objective and then fire on these guys. And I think you can still get snow speeders and use the tow cables and everything like that. I've seen some gameplay of that. But
yeah, and then there's like the rail gun thing.
The thing I find weird is that everything is done through like a power-up system.
Yeah.
Like all the vehicles, like the AT-ATs from what I've seen. Like
the heroes and villains.
You can't just go into them. You find a power up and then like pop that power up and then you get transported to a turret in an AT-AT and shoot like that because mm-hmm. AT-ATs are on like tracks and they're walking through gradually through the battle.
It's an on rails.
Yeah, it's an on rails. So you can't just pilot the AT-ATs wherever you want.
But what about the ships are? The
ships to fly, but it's also they also work as a power up basically. Mm-hmm. Then you pop them and then you don't see a ship in a hangar and then take off out of the hangar. You just it's kind of like. What's it analogous to? Like a kill streak in Call of Duty.
Okay.
Like
I guess.
Like you'll pop it and then you'll like your vision will go black and you'll pop up in a bird or whatever.
I guess that makes sense. That would like personally for me that would take a while to get used to. I actually like the process of just jumping into a ship and using it.
One thing I will say from playing it that
I haven't played it so
in the infantry mode that I play that's what I play mostly.
It's that's the smaller scale like 10 versus 10, where you try to pods like that fall.
Yeah, the pods fall, and then you try to, you know, one team tries to capture them, and then you have to defend them for a certain period of time. Then another pod will land somewhere else, you run to that. You know, it's just a Star Wars spin on the normal controlling of points game mode, domination, whatever you want to call it. So that mode, for one, it was really fun. I like the infantry battles. Overall, I just want to get this out of the way before I go into the more detailed stuff, but it nails the feel and sound and look of Star Wars just incredibly well.
It's
you're playing a Star Wars battle.
Awesome.
Does it have the dice sound design treatment?
Yeah, and I've said this
obviously
before.
It's different because you have lasers and stuff like that.
And that's an important point because I've said this before, and I would even say more now that I've played it, that I agree that it gives them a chance, in my opinion, more to show off what they can do. Because when you play a Battlefield game, unless you're looking for it, you know, some people might play it and say you're just hearing explosions and gunfire and all this stuff, and eventually it just become, you kind of become numb to it. You're just hearing these sounds that you're used to hearing in every other military shooter, and it's not really clicking. That
so for this time, it's war tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you hear those things, and you know it has incredible sound design. The Battlefield games always have, but eventually you just kind of ignore it almost because you're just so used to.
Just
hearing
turn the sound off. Listen to Limp Bizkit.
Well, yeah, rolling,
dude.
It's a given.
Urban assault vehicle.
But in this, in Battlefront, because you're hearing like Star Wars sounds, you're taking notice more. I feel like you're actually noticing every little thing that's happening, and because of that, I feel like anybody like playing it is going to have a deep appreciation. Anyone that's familiar with Star Wars is going to have a really deep appreciation.
And they use the actual Star Wars sounds.
Yeah,
like they got the right or whatever you want to call it to using those actual sounds. So,
and you can tell. I mean, it's incredible. So as far as like the feel of the game, like the shooting and stuff.
Oh yeah, I was gonna go on.
It feels good. It feels different. Like it's. Different than other games. There's like these, you know, you get power-ups in infantry, which I think in the infantry mode, that works really well. Mm-hmm. This is outside of like vehicles and stuff.
Yeah.
But for getting power-ups on the battlefield...
you mean the Battlefront?
The Battlefront.
Yeah.
I like that.
Get it right, please.
Yeah, sorry. I really like that. I think it's a good way to kind of balance things and a little bit differently than most games.
Do you think... Does it feel like you're playing a Battlefield game just with a Star Wars skin?
No.
No? Okay.
I didn't feel that way at all.
Cool. That's really, really pleasing to hear.
I've seen some footage just to be running someplace and up above you is fucking X-Wing fighters.
It seems like
there's
shit just popping off all the time.
One thing I do think needs some work is in the place that you fight in the infantry mode, there's a lot of, like, you know, rocky areas and sort of trenches and things like that. And eventually you get to, you get cards. That's your power-up system.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like your sort of kill streak rewards in Call of Duty, kind of something like that. But they have cooldown timers. You can use them basically at any time. And some have longer cooldown times than others. Eventually you get a car that allows you to like have a jetpack thing where you can like do these high jumps and fly around and stuff. And I feel like you can get a pretty quick tactical advantage just because you are allowed to get to places on the map's geometry that
other people
cannot get to. And awesome. I think that's just a function of the beta. I think that will be worked out.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think, a game that probably could benefit, at least that mode, from invisible walls a little bit more and things like that. Because you could pretty much go anywhere. If you could fly there, you could just pop up somewhere high. And
when's this coming out?
Next month. Early next month, I think.
I wonder if this is a... Well, obviously, this is not... No, in that case, this is not a real beta.
Yeah, I don't think it's a true... beta in the sense that they're going to get a lot from
it. Couldn't be. I mean, at this point, if it's coming out next week or
but
next month.
I will say it could have been, at least the beta build, could have been very early. So it's possible that some of these things have been changed without fan input.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's hard to say. But yeah, in the normal sense, it's not an actual beta.
Here's a question I've been thinking about a lot specifically the Walker Assault, the Hoth battle, and how... it seems everywhere when I talk to has said it's wildly unbalanced for the Rebel side.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of it in the story-wise, that battle was...
Yeah,
that battle was. So should it, I mean, so should DICE put in... Should DICE try to balance it to make it so that the Rebels could win easier? Or should they keep it true to, like, the fiction and that of that battle and make it real hard for the Rebels and just have people, like, kind of have to buy into that role more
mm-hmm.
and just...
Yeah, that's an interesting.
It's kind of a like a design philosophy thing. It's. What do you think, Phil?
I think that
you always want to get into those kind of questions.
I have to be honest. If they want to, it's great that they're sticking true to the fiction, but not to the point where it negatively affects the gameplay. It should be a balanced out fight.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, I could see both sides to an extent. I kind of lean more towards you, I guess, because I think that if you're, you know, in multiplayer modes nowadays, it comes down to leveling up, and you're getting points every time to level up and put towards things. And I feel like if you are at more of a disadvantage than the other team, I don't know if that's necessary. But
I can also see it going is like you get into a match, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm on the Rebels, and then drop out, and then you have unbalanced games all the time.
That's a good point.
Exactly, because you want, because you're trying to level up.
Yeah,
and you know you're.
And you don't. No one wants to be on the fucking Rebels because they're going to lose.
Yeah.
So, did you play as any of the heroes? Did you play as Luke or Vader?
I never got to.
Never did.
But I.
Man, they look janky. From everything I've seen, they look like they are janky.
The animations of the lightsaber and stuff look janky. The like force powers look fucking awesome.
Do they?
But yeah, some of the like the sword. It looks to me like you would see in a Bethesda game. Like this, the kind of wonky animations.
Yeah,
it's just like repeating the same thing over and over
again. Yeah,
you know, like just swinging wildly. Maybe a little better.
I'm really upset that I didn't make time to play it. I played a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, so.
To drown out the bad memories of the newest game?
I didn't play the newest game.
Wait.
It didn't happen in River's mind.
It didn't happen. I haven't
stopped it.
What
four.
Fucking game?
You know what?
I
don't know either.
Shred? Ride?
I think you're talking about American Wasteland.
Yeah. Right, Phil. That wasn't the bad
right, game. Phil. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Don't scare me like that.
Doesn't exist.
Did anyone play that game, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5, while we're on the topic?
No.
Did Felicia Phil?
Probably
not. Your dad?
I doubt it. He's just playing The Taken King, which he thinks is phenomenal. He loves it.
Yeah, I would love to play that.
I would, too.
Anyways.
I probably will soon.
Any more thoughts on the beta?
No, my overall thoughts is that I liked it. You know, it's more of a... I don't know how much lasting appeal it will have.
Okay.
I guess that kind of depends on how good the post-release content is,
support
and things like that, because it's pretty, you know, it's somewhat basic. There's not a lot of incentive to level up like a lot. You get those cards and things.
How different do all the weapons feel? Do they feel different? Like, do you get a variety of weapons, or do they all just kind of feel like different rates of fire?
Yeah, I would argue.
Like is there a shotgun or is there a?
I don't know. There wasn't in the beta.
Okay.
They had and I didn't even unlock all the guns that were available in the beta. I got like three of them. I know that there was like some more long range ones which I was getting taken out by.
Yeah.
You know, and that was happening. And there was one gun that had like a really fast rate of fire, and then a pistol. They all seem to have pretty good accuracy. More so,
no recoil.
Yeah, no recoil and stuff. They all kind of seem like they are all like that. So I guess it's not unbalanced. But I'm just curious. It makes me curious to see what I mean, I'm excited for the game to come out.
Yeah.
And it makes me very curious how it's going to look. You know, 6 months after the game comes out.
I like the idea of them doing game like battle. You look at Battlefield and it's kind of the same game mode on a bunch of different maps.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea that they might be making different game modes for different maps, like Walker Assault. That couldn't really work on other planets unless they write. I mean, they could, but they specifically made this thing for Hoth. I wonder if like there's Walker Assault on all other planets, or if they're making like specific authored scenarios for different maps and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, make a... There could be a Walker Assault on... Wait, was there AT-ATs on Endor? I can't remember. Or was it just AT-STs?
Endor, the moon?
Yeah.
They were the small-ass
walkers. AT-STs.
Okay. Yeah, AT-STs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I
could be wrong. Don't worry about
especially
it.
In the sense that with this game, you're not getting a story mode.
Yeah.
So if they had these real tailored, cool scenarios where you're doing different things on different areas
yeah.
that are made specifically for, you know, events specifically for these places, that could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like the fact that you can play in third person too.
I do too, and I actually like doing it. Cool. There are some situations where it really benefited from being in third person, and some. For first person.
Cool.
So. Well, in other news, apparently there's been signs, news to me, of alien life.
Fuck yeah, there has, Phil. What do you know about this?
Alien megastructure.
Why don't you break this story down for us, Phil?
Alright, so.
Explain it to me, because yeah. I don't know.
I don't give a
fuck. You don't know?
I'm scared. You I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to sleep tonight, because. They're fucking coming, man. They're fucking coming for us.
Well, according to...
Phil, blue light. Fucking encounters of a fourth kind truck stop bathroom fucks.
It's a good movie. Anyway.
Wait, what is?
Encounters of the fourth kind, man.
Truck stop bathroom fucks?
No,
you're seen talking... that one?
I think you're talking about the Halloween remake. I don't think there's bathroom fucks in there. I'm going to shut up. So, NASA's... Kepler Science Telescope found a small is meant to find small rocky worlds orbiting distant stars, but that's not the only thing it can detect. They can also detect stellar flares, star spots, and a bunch of planetary rings.
Okay, yes. So basically, designed to find extrasolar planets and exoplanets and stuff like that. To look for Earth-like planets. And so they were looking at, this star out there in our galaxy somewhere, and they saw what looked like from a bunch of people after... Obviously, alien intelligent design is always the last thing they want to go to, but after ruling out a lot of astral phenomena, you know, broken up meteors, planetary bodies, that kind of stuff... they kind of come to the last resort and say, "Okay, we've ruined all this stuff. It looks like a fucking alien megastructure, like a Dyson sphere."
What the hell do they want with us?
What do they want with us? They want to harvest our fucking livers.
Sounds like
to drink alcohol,
dude. We're so gonna get crunk with the aliens.
What?
When they murder all of.
They want to bring us knowledge. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, they want to teach us.
They
want to
build us mass relays. And then send us into the Omega relay and fucking
kill us.
Fry us in the sun. I don't know, Phil. What do they want? Does this not scare you to death?
I'm still not necessarily in shock. But
okay, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, this is... I'm not like saying, okay, fuck, that proves it. There's aliens out there that are building Dyson spheres and shit like that. But reading the article and thinking about a monolithic thing that could from that distance look that substantial against a fucking sun, and that's out there,
it's
and
that
there
big.
There's a civilization that might be able to build a structure the size of the United States or even bigger, the size
and
of fucking Earth,
orbit.
And put it in orbit. Around a fucking sun to harness that energy, that's the most terrifying thing that I've ever read in my life.
That's daunting as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so daunting.
Imagine walking out from recording this podcast and seeing the entire sky, just as far as your fucking eye could see, and just having it be a fucking airship. Imagine that.
Dude, that is insane. That is that's concept art painting.
And then imagine, yeah, it is. It's fucking, and then imagine chocobos coming out of that.
It's fucking chocobos.
God damn it.
Chocobos
imagine
and moogles.
Just the most, like,
fucking moogles.
Unassuming small organisms coming out of it and just...
You said metal cubes that spoke telepathically.
No, what I meant by
which
that...
Which is fucking some XCOM shit.
What I meant by that was that this structure itself
oh,
is
Christ.
An actual
It's a
organism.
Borg cube?
It's an organism, man.
That's
I'm telling
don't,
you.
I don't...
What it if it's a bunch of Michael Jacksons and they've come to recover
you guys
their
know that...
lost...
Wait,
they lost us.
What?
What if it's a bunch of Michael Jacksons
Are
and
you
they, come
about...
to recover, they come to recover their brethren, but it turns out he's dead? I'm gonna... What time was that?
Don't worry about it. We're keeping it. Do you guys know the concept of the Dyson Sphere?
No, go ahead and explain it
to me. It's a sci-fi theory. I forget who wrote about it first. It was some sci-fi author. But a Dyson Sphere is basically a sun-encompassing object. So it's basically, imagine if we took our sun and built something entirely around the sun to harness the energy of the sun. So, like, when our planet's withered and dry, we were able to build a... And this is, like, I think there's four civilization types, mm-hmm. class 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we are, I think class 1.
Mm-hmm.
Class 2 civilizations are able to harness the power of their local star.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we sit in a class 1 civilization. Class 3 is, like, interstellar travel, and class 4 is, like, I think... like time and interdimensional travel, and so these are like the theorized civilizations.
So this goes to the movie this, Interstellar.
No.
Well, in
no.
a sense,
this yeah. is an actual theory. This is an actual like hypothesized it
must
theory.
They must have taken that and used it for the movie, though.
So, well, yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, there's a theory that says, you know, we are a class one civilization because we have not yet to be able to harness the power, the energy of our local star. So this would, so the Dyson Sphere is something that a class 2 civilization would theoretically be able to build around the sun to harness the power of a star. And that's the theory, and that's kind of what they were pointing at in the article that I read, is that this is something that is harnessing the power of that star. So
yeah, and now let me just preface this by saying that there are other theories out there, that there, you know, that there's more earthly scenarios that could possibly be leading to this. Like there was a theory that it was a broken up like meteor or something that was pulled into the or like a field of them was pulled into the gravitational pull of this star. But just the thought of something like that. I mean, the fact that this something like this is out there. And
or could be
out there is, I mean, it's just incredible to think about. It's almost as much as we are preconceived to think about, you know, sci-fi and mm-hmm. space and space travel and all that from all the fiction that we've read and watched and seen over the years. There's still a feeling almost as if our minds cannot quite comprehend that. And I see that. When we talk about anytime like extraterrestrial life or aliens or anything get brought up to people, I see that not saying that my mind is superior and I can conceive things that other people can't, but I will say that a lot of people seem to think about things in human terms way too much mm-hmm. when they're talking about or theorizing what could be out there and what they would want and what their motivations would be or what they would be doing. And everyone's thinking about it in human terms. And it's if something is out there, if something like this is real or something ever like something happens where we find extraterrestrial life of any sort, there is nothing that we would have no conception of,
absolutely nothing
anything about them
mm-hmm.
or what they want, what they would do. There would be no possible way for us to even comprehend
this. This is getting real like theoretical and philosophical, but like it always bothers me when I'm reading about something or you know, like extraterrestrial life, and when they say life couldn't exist on this planet for such and such reason, I'm like, why the fuck not? Like, why can't there be something so drastically different out there? Like, doesn't have to be a carbon-based life form. It doesn't need water. Yes. It doesn't need air. It doesn't, like, it can survive in, like, 5 million degree temperatures because that's where it happened. But, like, I don't know.
Or it could turn out that they're in debt up to $18 trillion just like us. You know.
But, like, I'm obviously, like, our understanding of science would dictate that nothing can, no form of life can survive in certain mm-hmm. But that's our understanding of science.
Exactly.
And and we are new at this.
We are very new at this. Yeah. And not only that, but our understanding, if you look at the scale of what we know versus what we don't know, mm-hmm. the ratio,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know fucking anything.
We don't know what, like, what is it, like 90% of what makes everything, what everything consists of.
Yeah.
It's like matter, like real matter makes up for like 10% of shit.
Yeah.
Like what everything that we see and everything that we examine is like, and then dark matter and dark energy is like 90% of mm-hmm. everything. And we can't fucking figure out what that is or where it comes from.
I mean, and it's a cliche thing to say, but it's very true and poignant in this discussion. But we don't know all there is to know about what's happening here mm-hmm. on Earth. I mean, as far as how certain things happen, brain connections and diseases and people recovering from certain things mm-hmm. and new organisms that we find that are able to, you know, like breed in different ways that we've never seen or and things like that.
Tame
and Shud.
Number stations. Chemtrails.
Chemtrails. The Gray Man of Ben MacDewey.
Oh, fuck. Fucking Faces of Belmez.
Fucking Faces of Belmez. There's just so many things.
Bush did 9/11.
Jet fuel cannot melt steel beam. Okay, so getting back on track. All I'm saying is that there's still so much. I mean, you know, there's things happening within like 100 yards of where we're sitting right now that scientists probably can't explain, let alone what's happening light years and light years away on other galaxies, you know, the makings of the universe, what's beyond the universe that we know of. I mean, there's just so much out there that we know for humans, and I understand there are some things that we can say from, you know, testing and certain impossibilities just from looking at physics and things like that we can say pretty certainly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like it's so ignorant in a lot of ways to dismiss a lot of things.
That that's the thing is like that we can say in our understanding of physics and science and that kind of stuff, we can say that is an impossibility with our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, and fuck, I don't know anything. Like, I don't know anything.
Oh yeah, me.
I'm just like pontificating here, but like, we don't understand everything, so how can we say something is actually impossible? But
And one more point to go along with what you just said. The smartest mind on Earth, you know, 500 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the person who objectively was the smartest person on Earth, if there was such a thing, the person that maybe, you know, everybody looked at for advice or for
500 years ago, that would have been Altair.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nailed it.
So the smartest mind on Earth, you know, that long ago couldn't possibly conceive things that are possible now.
They
would have told the other people who look to them for knowledge, like we look to, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson mm-hmm. and people like this that we listen to, you know, physicists and science and all the other scientists out there. There's a ton of them, but they would have told them
Billy Bird.
They would have told them it's impossible, you know, for maybe for a device to fly for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Or that you're a fucking heretic for saying that the Earth revolves around the sun, even like shit like that.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, and our way of gathering knowledge and stuff has grown, but there's still
the only thing I give a fuck about is that someday science makes a pill that I can take and fucking shoot lasers out of my hands. All I care about.
I'm gonna be 100% honest with both of you.
Yeah.
I still
to this day,
I try to shoot things out of my hands.
Dude, on occasion. Does it work? I can feel it. I can feel the lasers in my goddamn arms.
Dude, it's close. I'm getting close.
Yes, I'm getting really close.
you might make the Force happen, too.
I hope so, like
Kevin Smith in Mallrats.
That's probably on the level it would be.
I feel like there's so much that we could continue really talking hard about, but I feel like we need to move on from this topic because we'll just bullshit and philosophize about this forever.
Well, one thing that might be coming around sooner than that megaship will
good
be
segue.
The return of Fantastic Four to Marvel
mm-hmm.
by 2020.
Phil, I can honestly say that when Stryker told you this before the show, I haven't seen you that genuinely excited about anything.
I didn't think it was
almost
going,
ever.
Nope, I can't remember the last time.
Nope.
Well, and you get really excited about shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, all of your life is getting excited about shit, and I've never seen you that.
That's because it was raw, dude. It just hit me. It was new, because I didn't think it was going to be a possibility. I thought Fox was being very stubborn, but I guess everyone thought they did. But apparently, they're throwing in the towel and saying, listen, in the next couple years, you can have this franchise back.
Basically, yeah, so the basic understanding that I have of this situation is that Fox was in discussions with Marvel to produce TV shows based on X-Men,
mm-hmm.
Which is different, I guess. I'm guessing there were some negotiations happening maybe for the TV rights that are different from the film rights. So they wanted to do two TV shows based around like spinoffs of the X-Men or something mm-hmm. like that. And part of the deal was that Marvel's like, well, okay, you can do that, but you have to give us the rights back to Fantastic Four. And they agreed to it, and Marvel has already said, well, I don't know how confirmed this is, but Marvel has basically come out and said that in 2020 they're going to be doing a Fantastic Four movie, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's super exciting. And I would actually like to branch into another sort of controversy, because it does pertain to superhero movies. See, Steven Spielberg has said that superhero movies are going to be going the way of the Western. And by 2020, how do you think people are going to feel about another Fantastic Four movie?
Well, here's the thing. I think that you are... It's gotten to the point where people are sort of... People are already to the point where they're like, you know, one of these superhero movies going to end, and I'm sick of it. Some people.
Then again, Westerns lasted 40 years.
Yeah, so Westerns lasted 40 years, and they still make Westerns that are very good.
Yeah.
So I think that as far as it's two different questions, actually. I mean, as far as there being another Fantastic Four movie, you know, in 5 years, people probably aren't going to be a big fan of it, just like they weren't a big fan of a new Spider-Man coming out in actually more than 5 years, I think, if I remember
correctly. Still a long ways off, I guess.
So, and I can understand that, but I think in Marvel's perspective, they don't really care. They don't think about this Fantastic Four movie that just came out. They're not worried about that. That's not even on their radar. As far as they're concerned, it never happened. All they care about is what they own, what they can do and put out, and if they can, connecting everything in their cinematic universe. And frankly, I think it's cool. I'm not a huge fan of having a sort of reboot of a franchise that soon, but also, in a sense, I can be excited about anything going to back to Marvel, because their track record is just making great quality superhero movies.
And one other point to make is that what makes superhero movies coming out of Marvel so great, what can provide a lot of longevity, is the fact that all these different superhero movies they put out, they kind of branch into different genres. Ant-Man was a heist mm-hmm. movie. Captain America Winter Soldier, I think Kevin Feige made this point, was a espionage political thriller, and so on and so forth. There are more like of these other movies than mere superhero movies. I mean, right. they don't really... One can argue, perhaps, that they don't really put out a superhero movie until another Avengers comes out. That being said, and that does kind of provide a lot of variety to what they do. Frankly, I would love to see what they're going to do with Fantastic Four. It's never been my most favorite superhero genre, comic book ever, but for some weird reason, seeing the movies has always made me read the comic books, which is the exact opposite of what superhero movies actually do to most people. They actually don't make people want to read more comic books.
Fantastic Four doesn't feel cool to me. They never have. They never felt like a cool superhero.
It's going to be a lot harder to make them cool again. But
well, here's the thing. They're not. I mean, to be honest, Fantastic Four, they're more of a family than a team of renegade superheroes or like these badasses or something like that. They're normal people who they were the first team of superheroes. I mean, they were like Marvel's first team, basically. And they're normal people who got, you know, who worked together and were sent on this mission together and grow and their relationships evolve. And it's more of a, you know, you hear people talk about it a lot, but The Incredibles was the best Fantastic Four movie that's ever been released.
Hmm, that's a good way to put it.
And it's funny to think about it because, I mean, that movie, it was about family mm-hmm. and about these people trying to adapt to having powers that made them better than normal people. And it, you know, it was about more than that. But at its core, that's kind of what Fantastic Four is. It's different than like an X-Men movie mm-hmm. Or an Avengers movie or something like that. And I think that... that's kind of what you have to do with you have to embrace that if you're going to make a Fantastic Four movie, because they're not going to be the cool team.
Yeah,
they're just not that.
Yeah,
so you have to go a different route, and I think that's cool. Maybe that'll make it refreshing enough to where people will forget about this year's Fantastic Four. You know?
Yeah. And it's really sad about I really believe that this one was going to be good. And I hear that it had a lot of interesting concepts, but in the long run, it turned out to suck.
I heard it was terrible on almost every front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good news, and what's more absurd than a guy that can stretch is a big-ass lizard fighting...
God, your fucking segues are magic.
A massive ass gorilla, two legends, two gods of monster horror going up against each other for the first time since the 60s. I think it's the 60s.
Fucking kaiju.
It is the god of all monsters, Godzilla versus the king of all goddamn big ass motherfucking gorillas, King Kong.
Okay, Phil.
You that was a goddamn poem.
That was. God,
it's happening. They're actually doing Godzilla versus King Kong, and
you're a Godzilla enthusiast. You have been since we were kids. Tell me what you think about this.
I hope Godzilla beats the living shit out of King Kong. I hope he tears his fucking head off.
I feel like King Kong would win.
No,
what
he fucking
would. What do you think about it as a concept, though?
As a concept? Well, it's absurd, like most kaiju movies. Well, but it's going to be fun. It's going to have pointless human storylines that no one gives a shit about.
Matthew Broderick is going to be.
Matthew Broderick is going
to
be.
I think this is a good time for this movie to
exist. Yes, it is.
Who's making it?
Better now. It's going to be legendary in Warner Brothers, I think, like the last one.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's directing it.
I'm curious if it will be the same Godzilla that we saw in the movie just a few years ago, because he was fucking massive, and you can't have King Kong can't be that big. It's not King Kong. He climbs the Empire State Building.
Well, you know what they did?
He doesn't destroy it.
They made a Japanese version where Godzilla tears off King Kong's head, and then they made the American cut where King Kong rips off Godzilla's head.
The fuck are you talking
about? So nobody really knows. Oh, the original Godzilla. Oh, okay. That's the thing. It's still kind of like.
But are they going to make Godzilla small? Is what I'm getting at.
Oh,
because they have to. Because it has to be a fair fight, otherwise it won't be fun to watch.
Or it could be this weird thing where they wind up teaming up in the end.
Did God damn? I hope did team up against the Force. 2013 or whatever year Godzilla have all the powers.
Like he had the mouth.
Yeah, he did, and it was probably the coolest.
The laser,
use of it.
Or
it was the atomic breath, the blue atomic breath. Yeah, it was probably
fucking awesome.
That was the coolest use of it I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
He ripped the mouth open, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he blasted.
Who rips the mouth open?
Godzilla ripped the mouth of the main monster, of the main enemy.
Hold the fucking phone.
So what happened?
What was this movie?
Godzilla.
Yeah, I know.
The most recent one.
Yeah, what was the plot of this movie?
Okay, a monster escapes, Godzilla fights him.
Oh, holy shit, I thought it was just Godzilla.
Bryan Cranston, he dies halfway through the movie. Anyway, whoa. Godzilla, it doesn't matter.
He actually dies?
Yeah, and I was pissed, but it doesn't matter.
Bryan Cranston?
Yes.
No, not in real life.
Not in real life.
Oh, okay.
Godzilla pries open the monster's mouth and literally blasts his atomic breath into his mouth.
Comes down his throat.
He just completely changed my view of it now. That image.
He was snowballing. Permanent.
Thanks, man. Thanks for ruining it. Yeah. But anywho, yeah, so that happened in Godzilla. And I think I kind of lost track from what we were talking about. We were talking about Godzilla versus King Kong. I did want to make the point, like, what if Godzilla just throws King Kong and King Ghidorah or something? That would be funny. But yeah.
Sure would.
Yeah. That's happening. And
I hope they're both like only like
20 feet tall.
6 feet tall.
Oh, man.
They're just fighting around the Sears.
No. There we go.
Yeah, they escape from the San Diego Zoo and just fight in a Sears.
There we go. That's how you do it. They clone a miniature Godzilla. There we go.
And it's a little bit stupider than
real
Godzilla.
It's kind of like
just a little bit off.
If only we can have the complete kaiju roster in the next Godzilla
Mothra,
movie.
Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
Mechamothra.
All of them. Space Godzilla. Bailante. Batra.
Cervantes. Voldo.
Nightmare.
Yes.
See, I don't know all these other monsters. I know the
but
Mothra.
But you do know another roster. A roster belonging to WWE.
God damn it!
2K16. The full roster.
Phil, your segues are just the greatest.
I think... Segue episode.
Yeah.
This, and the thumbnail is just a fucking segue scooter.
Oh, man. Phil, you hit me with that, and I wasn't expecting it. So they've been doing... They were, up until, 2 weeks ago now, they were doing weekly roster reveals for WWE 2K16 because it's, as I said previously, it's got the largest roster ever.
A million characters.
So every Monday for the next 25 years. Yeah. So every Monday they've been releasing, a small amount of the roster. And then they had the final one a few weeks back. So at this point we know the complete roster. And I put it on the list because I just wanted to say that it's very cool. I'm excited about it. There's a few people that were missing. But then they also announced the DLC, like the content that's going to come out after release, and that had like it's basically like it's the coolest roster I could ever imagine, and it's just neat because in this day and age you have so many guys in the WWE now who were really popular in the indies 7-10 years ago, and the WWE looks like an indie show in a lot of ways that you would see that, like, when you look at the roster, like, you could match up this guy and this guy, and that's a match you might have seen like 10 years ago in Ring of Honor or some independent promotion. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool to see the evolution of that. And then they're also bringing in, a lot of Hall of Fame and classic wrestlers that I grew up watching, which is always awesome.
Got D'Lo Brown?
Yeah. Sure does.
Damn. What's his... Watermelon Smash or whatever.
Wait,
what does he do?
He does the Lowdown and the Sky High.
Oh, man. Does he shake
his
head?
Yeah, he does. He shakes his head.
The Watermelon Smash? I feel like he has some weird name for I don't know, whatever.
If there's not a mode where you can actually play Stone Cold Steve Austin hosing down Vince McMahon with a bunch of beer, I'm out.
Just a whole game mode?
Just the whole fucking game mode.
I mean, I'm sure there'll be a cutscene in there.
Oh, that would Christ. Be sweet.
So, anyway, I'm excited about it.
Sounds like a treasure of a game. Speaking of treasure.
Oh, God.
One sailor named Drake looked for treasure, but,
He's not a sailor.
What did you say?
No. His ancestor.
One sailor named Drake.
Sir Francis Drake looked for treasures. That was his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And about 100 years later,
Shining Impact.
Yes,
that's a fucking special move from Metal Gear.
You have to understand that move was named from a Japanese movie.
Yeah,
so it's
not as cool as the moves that Nathan Drake's going to be pulling in Uncharted 4.
Okay, all right,
Phil.
Let's push on.
Phil, the Uncharted Collection, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the
you just said four.
Uncharted Collection and Uncharted 4.
But,
Phil, it's gonna come through.
I know. Whatever, dude.
I'm just addicted to segues now, and I'm pushing too hard, and I need to slow down. Dude. So let's chill out.
You really don't need to slow down. Keep this fucking Phil train coming. The gravy train.
Tomorrow you're gonna be segueing.
Let's chill out, and then we'll be a far cry away from.
Okay. We haven't even talked about Uncharted. God damn it.
Okay. Uncharted Collection.
Okay. I have been playing the Uncharted Collection.
And I just walked in on you playing it, man.
You did. I was playing it.
You looked wonderful.
It looked.
Did I look so happy?
Good. You looked in the zone, man.
I was. You can always tell when I'm in the zone because I have this weird look on my face.
Yeah.
I look stupid.
Yeah, he looks ready for death. He looks ready to die.
Yeah, that's my zone face.
Mm-hmm.
So,
looks good.
Yeah,
I'm shocked at how good it looks. I'd like to see more.
It looks great, and let me tell you something. I'm playing through them in order, so I've beat one.
Mm-hmm.
And one, you know, it's two and three are far beyond one as far as a game.
Yeah.
But I played through one, and it's still. The treatment they gave it for remastering, it still looks really fucking good. There are some things about it as a game that make it, you know, not quite as fun as the others, but it's still a good game. And one thing playing through it that I noticed, I kind of thought was endearing, was that it's all takes place on basically one island. It's more of an intimate story, and I forgot about that.
I forgot
how kind of local it was.
Is Uncharted 1 or 2 the one with the blue guys at the end?
That's 2.
Okay. What is the supernatural thing in 1?
Is that 3?
I think it was 2.
1. Well, 2 has the weird goat guys. Because I'm fighting them now. Mm-hmm. Like the weird guys with horns that are in the snowy area.
Oh, the Wendigos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wendigos.
Yeah,
the Wendigos. I think 3 is the one with the blue guys.
Maybe really?
No, it I is 2 because they have the resin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That just comes later.
Yeah. So what's the supernatural? Like, there's Nazis or something?
They're like these zombie-looking guys in one that are like crawl at you. And they're all ugly and shit.
They're
the Spaniards that got...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so, yeah, I'm towards the end of 2. It looks fantastic. It looks 60 so good, frames dude. In 1080p. It's like this game was meant to be that way, you know? And it looks like a PS4 game. I mean, when you play it, like, comparing it to some of the other games I've played on here, it holds up extremely well for being a game that came out to what came out in 2009.
Same kind of instance. I mean, this is obviously less of a time period, but same kind of instance with the Last of Us remastered. It looked like a PS4 game. Like, the textures were so sharp. Everything was so clean. It looked so fucking good.
Let me tell you something about Last of Us.
No.
It's a good era to be a gamer.
What? Yeah, it is. Last of Us, I thought when I first played it, and maybe God I'll think damn, differently when yeah. I play. I kind of thought that I remembered Uncharted 3 looking better than Last of Us when I first played Last of Us.
Okay.
And I thought the graphics were incredible. They were really good. And there were some things that stood out, like that looked incredibly fucking good. But I kind of remembered playing Uncharted 3 and thinking, this doesn't look quite as good as I remember Uncharted 3 looking. Maybe it was just because I had rose-tinted glasses when I played 3 and less so when I played Last of Us. Maybe it's a function of the fact that Last of Us was a different kind of color scheme.
It's a different setting, too. Less
color and stuff.
Foliage and mythical cities always look really cool because they're colorful and crazy.
Mm-hmm. But they also work, developed sort of coincided with each other in tandem. So, I don't know. I'm curious to play, 3 now. So, anyway, I just an observation. I'm really excited to play. I'm honestly playing through 1 and 2 just to get to 3 at this point because I'm so excited to play it again because I haven't played it since I beat it once. And the other ones I've beat.
Me too.
At least twice.
Yeah. I think
second one I played 2.5 times or something. So I'm really excited to play 3 again because there's so much of it I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember that
makes me want to go back.
I remember two scenes. Hey everyone, it's River.
Due to some technical difficulties, we lost the second half of this week's episode. Sorry about that. We were going to talk about spaghetti, rigatoni, all sorts of different stuff. Anyways, hope you enjoyed what you did here, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.